A web that has no Weibo, Understanding Chinese Medicine, page 186. Listening and Smelling, 110. This examination deals with a number of common signs, all about equally important in the weaving of a diagnosis. Voice and respiration are the first. Coarse, strong respiration may signify excess. Weak respiration or shortness of breath, accompanied by weak, low voice and a little speech, suggests deficiency. A sudden loss of voice suggests an external pernicious influence, while chronic loss of voice is usually a sign of deficiency. Wheezing most often suggests mucus. A heavy cough or a sudden and violent one is a sign of excess. A dry, hacking cough suggests heat or dryness. A weak cough is usually part of a deficiency pattern. Chinese medicine distinguishes between two main kinds of bodily odors that are present during illness. These smells are difficult to describe, and so the Chinese physician relies heavily on experience when interpreting them. One odor is characterized as foul, rotten, and nauseating, like the odor of rancid meat or rotten eggs. Such an odor signifies heat. The second odor is less nauseating, but more pungent or fishy, and may seem to hurt the nose. It's like the smell of fumes from bleach and indicates cold and deficiency. Asking, 110. In the third of the four examinations, the physician asks questions, as would a Western doctor, to discover important but not readily apparent information. Of course, many questions may be asked, but only those that are most common and that are essential for beginners to learn pattern perception are discussed here. These cover the following topics: sensations of cold or hot, perspiration, headaches and dizziness, quality and location of pain, urination and stool, thirst, appetite and taste, sleep, gynecological concerns, and personal background, including medical and psychosocial history. Questions about hot and cold, pain, and medical history are generally the most important. The other signs discovered by asking may contribute necessary shading to the pattern, but these signs are rarely decisive. The order of the questions presented here follows a traditional gradation that is used to help beginning students learn how to think in terms of patterns. They range from the simplest to more complex. The purpose is to provide building blocks for the development of pattern recognition. An experienced physician ignores this odor or the entire idea of fixed set of questions and instead facilitates a natural give and take. For an old timer, the clinical story comes out in a soul-to-soul encounter. Sensation of cold and hot. In general, cold corresponds to yin and hot to yang, for internally generated disorders. Subjective sensations of heat, feeling warm to the touch, or a dislike of hot weather or hot places can be a sign of heat. Cold is signified by the opposite. Constant chills or a preference for warm places, for instance. Acute fevers of external origin fall into the special category of febrile illnesses. Until very recently, such illnesses were always considered life-threatening and were in fact a major cause of death. Fevers are therefore a central focus of most Chinese medical texts, as they are in the writing of Hippocrates and in other early medical traditions. When a patient has a sudden fever together with chills, it indicates that the body's qi is attempting to expel an external pernicious influence. It's not necessarily a sign of cold. If the fever persists but the chills disappear, the illness is said to have gone deeper and the fever is a sign of heat. A low-grade fever especially noticeable in the afternoon or heat felt only in the palms of the hands, soles of the feet, and the sternum. indicates insufficient yin. If the patient has no fever yet feels cold, or he or she is usually suffering from deficient yang or deficient qi, especially if the condition is chronic. Interestingly, whether or not blankets make the patient any warmer is a helpful diagnostic distinction. If blankets increase the patient's warmth, the disharmony is probably an internal deficiency of yang. If not, the disorder may be an invasion of an external cold pernicious influence. Perspiration. Perspiration occurs when the pores are open but not when the pores are closed. Both these conditions are affected by various disharmonies. If a patient perspires in the daytime even though he or she engages in little or no physical activity, it indicates that protective qi is not properly regulating the pores and that there may be a pattern of deficient yang or deficient qi. Excessive perspiration during sleep, however, signifies deficient yin. If no perspiration occurs during an illness with fever and other signs of external pernicious influence, the pernicious influence is probably cold that has obstructed the pores. If there is perspiration during such an illness, it suggests external heat opening the pores, or perhaps a deficiency of qi hampering the proper regulation of the pores. The choice between these two possibilities would be based on other signs. If the fever breaks after perspiration, the pernicious influence has been expelled. Headaches and dizziness. Headaches may accompany any of the pattern of disharmony, but some broad distinctions between types of headaches can be helpful. Sudden headaches often appear with external pernicious influences, which disturb the yang or qi of the head. Chronic headaches more often accompany internal disharmonies. Severe headaches may be a sign of excess, while slight, annoying headaches are usually a sign of deficiency. The organ most associated with headaches is the liver, because liver qi often rises when the liver is in disharmony. A physician may consider the exact location of a headache significant, since it corresponds to the meridian that passes through that part of the head and thus to the rest of the system connected by the meridian. Dizziness, like headaches, can be part of any pattern of disharmony, although it is most frequently seen in patterns of deficient yin or blood. It always depends on the rest of the configuration for interpretations. Pain. After cold and hot, this is the next most important subject of the asking examination. In fact, pain is often the patient's chief complaint, the thing that brought him or her to the physician. Pain manifesting in a particular part of the body indicates a disharmony in the area. Pain in the chest, for instance, indicates disharmony in the heart or lungs. Pain of the lung and rib cage indicates liver and gallbladder disharmony. Pain in the epigastrium, solar plexus, indicates stomach and spleen disharmony. Abdominal pain above the navel indicates disharmony of the spleen and intestines. Abdominal pain around and below the navel indicates disharmonies of the intestines, bladder, uterus, or kidney. Groin, genital area, and hypogastria pain indicates liver meridian disharmony. And lower back pain signals kidney disharmony. The Chinese physician is also concerned with the patient's description of the exact quality of his or her pain. Table 2 summarizes the significance and type of disharmony associated with some common qualities of pain. Pain of diminished by heat signified cold. Pain of diminished by cold signified heat. Pain of relieved by touch or pressure signifies deficiency. Pain of aggravated by touch or pressure signifies excess. Pain which diminishes after eating signifies deficiency. Pain which increases after eating, signifies excess. Pain, which increases in humid weather, signifies dampness. Pain, which accompanied by bloating or sense of fullness, signifies stagnant qi. Pain, which sharp and stabbing, usually fixed in location, signifies congealed blood. Pain, which sensation of heaviness, signifies dampness. Pain, which moves from place to place, signifies wind or stagnant qi. Pain, which is slight and accompanied by fatigue, signifies deficient qi or dampness. The time between the start of the pain and when the patient finally makes the effort to see the physician can be important. If the duration is short, the pain is likely to be shallow and more easily treated. If the interlude is longer, the pain may have become an integral part of the patient's negotiations in the world. The deeper pain entwines in his or her life and often requires treatment directed at the inner organs, emotions, and spirit. Urine and stool. Chinese physicians do not generally take urine or stool samples for examination. They get the information they need from the asking examination. A patient whose urine is clear usually has a cold pattern, while dark yellow or reddish urine indicates heat. Copious urine and frequent nighttime urination suggest that the kidneys are not properly vaporizing water and point to deficient kidney qi. Scanty urination is usually a sign of some type of excess, such as dampness or heat obstructing the bladder qi, although it can be a sign of deficient fluids. Frequent, scanty, dark, and painful urinations indicates dampness and heat in the bladder. Inability to complete urination, dripping, or a lack of force in urination often signifies deficient qi, cold, or dampness. Infrequent, dry or hard stools can be part of a configuration of a heat excess, but depending on the accompanying signs, may also signify deficient fluids or deficient qi. Frequent watery or unformed stools usually signifies deficient yang, deficient qi, or dampness. Urgent diarrhea, especially when yellowish and accompanied by a burning sensation in the anus, is a sign of heat or liver excess. Stools that are first dry and then wet suggest deficiency. Undigested food in stools often signifies deficient yang of the spleen. Thirst, appetite, and taste. Chinese physicians commonly ask patients whether they are thirsty. This is because thirst is often a sign of heat, while lack of thirst often signifies cold. Thirst without a desire to drink is a sign of deficient yin or of dampness. Appetite disorders, for example, eating too much or too little, usually signify a stomach or spleen disharmony due to deficient qi or dampness. Unusual taste in the mouth may also indicate disharmony. A bitter taste suggests heat, most commonly as a condition of the liver or gallbladder. A sweet, pasty taste suggests damp heat in the spleen. Foul taste often means liver or stomach heat, while salty taste sensations may indicate kidney disharmony. Inability to distinguish taste is usually part of a pattern of deficient spleen qi. Sleep. In keeping with their emphasis on balance, the Chinese believe that people should have just enough sleep. Too little or too much indicates imbalance and disharmony. Insomnia is described in Chinese text as yang and unable to enter in, the active unable to become passive. This usually means that blood or yin or both are deficient and incapable of nourishing the spirit stored in the heart. There is therefore a relative excess of yang, which is not balanced and is unable to quiet down. Excess yang, or fire in any other organ, can also cause insomnia. The constant desire to sleep or excessive sleep is often a sign of deficient yang, deficient qi, or dampness. Gynecological concerns. Chinese physicians routinely ask female patients about gynecological matters. If a woman's menstrual periods arrive earlier than usual, it may signify that heat is causing reckless movement of blood or that deficient qi cannot govern blood. The accompanying signs would make a distinction easy to arrive at. A red tongue would mean heat. A pale tongue would mean deficient qi. Late menstrual periods suggest deficient blood or cold causing stagnation. Irregular menstruation is often a sign that liver qi is not moving harmoniously. Excessive menstrual flow may signify heat in the blood or deficient qi. Insufficient flow or lack of mens, except during pregnancy, may mean deficient blood, cold, obstructing the blood, or congealed blood. Pale and thin menstrual blood points to a deficient condition. Very dark blood suggests heat, and blood that is purplish, especially if clotted, may indicate congealed blood. Copious, clear or white, and thin discharges usually signify deficiency and dampness. Discharges that are thick and yellow, or accompanied by itching or soreness of the vagina, are often signs of heat and dampness. Personal background. The Chinese physician wants to have a complete medical history of each patient. This is because patterns may reappear time after time, pointing to various irregularities or body activities, and because previous disharmonies may be affecting the patient's health. The patient's history is an additional sign in the diagnosis. The physician's general rule is that acute illnesses are associated with the patterns of excess, and chronic illnesses with the patterns of deficiency. Older people tend to have deficiency patterns, whereas younger people are inclined toward excesses. A family medical history can also be very helpful in terms of hereditary diseases. At this point in history, all East Asian physicians would necessarily also take an inventory of the patient's biomedical status, both in terms of diseases and treatments. Oriental medicine can no longer function in an isolated context. Part of the process of moving west has meant a clear recognition of the values of the West. Medically and morally, an Oriental physician needs to know when conventional medical approaches might be more desirable, knowing when more information is needed and when not to treat a patient or when to treat a patient in conjunction with other practitioners has become a necessary skill for any Oriental physician who practices in the contemporary health world. In some situations, the Oriental practitioner finds great value in a biomedical diagnosis. The refinements of sensory discrimination and early disease detection available through sophisticated Western technology can add significantly to the understanding of the patient's condition. Sometimes, an X-ray, MRI, or laboratory report is more sensitive and accurate than the best Oriental physician. Another important reason for taking a biomedical history is that medications and other treatments can alter the appearance of important signs such as tongue and pulse. Furthermore, potential herb-drug interactions require vigilance. For the traditional practitioner, this new domain of inquiry has become another critical piece of the patient's landscape. While biomedicine can creatively add to information that is important to discern a pattern, this knowledge does not transform the Chinese medical work of detecting a unique set of yin yang relationships. In a chronic situation for a condition that will require a lengthy course of treatment, the physician needs to be deeply acquainted with the patient. In inquiry concerning life behaviors such as the balance of activity, rest, diet, and food habit is important. Even more critical, the physician needs to know what animates a person, what makes him or her tick, what are the sources of strength and weakness, and what gives his or her life purpose and meaning. This deeper layer of a person, usually involved with the spirit, can sometimes reveal the clearest delineation of a pattern. The physician may need to know about significant relationships, sources of pleasure and self-worth, major disappointments, major successes, important learning experiences, and how a person managed earlier illness. Major illness is an uninvited opportunity for self-revelation and growth, and the physician must be alert to this possibility in the current situation. The physician cannot be afraid to ask heavy questions. Are you thinking or dealing with the possibility of death, disability, being a burden, losses, unfinished work or relationships? The responses, whether in words, emotions, or muscular postures, can reveal that characters of the human landscape, the deepest layers of yin and yang. During the personal background part of the interview, the physician also needs to discuss the patient's preferences, expectations, and beliefs. Not only do they help reveal the energetic configuration of people, they all can be a major determinant of the physician's explanation, therapeutic strategy, and the final outcomes of the patient-physician exchange.